What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, happy Victory Monday. It's been a while since we've got to celebrate a Monday show with a win. There's a couple tough losses in between the last time we got to do a show like this. So on today's show, we'll just be talking about general things from the game to start the show before getting into a full game recap. And then we're going to end the show with the biggest takeaways from this game, because there was a lot of things I saw in this game that are good trends and bad trends going forward. So we'll talk about our takeaways from the big 30-10 win against the Dolphins. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. And the news of the day is that the Chargers go to Miami and get their first win since 1981, dominating the Dolphins in the second half in a 30-10 win. We saw the Chargers finally put together a successful second half where they pulled away from the Dolphins. They led 17-10 at halftime, but it could have been as close as 17-16 had the Dolphins not missed two field goals. The opposing kickers against the Chargers this year have been dreadful. All sorts of missed kicks this year by the opposing teams, and the Chargers were finally able to capitalize playing a worse team and pulled away for a big win. And David, we saw a lot of positives in this game. Phillip Rivers was awesome. The supporting cast, minus Mike Williams and Travis Benjamin and Justin Jackson, were awesome filling in for them. The Chargers went into this game battered and they left the game even more so. But the guys that were on the field put together an inspiring second half where the Chargers finally put their foot on the throat of their opponent and finished a game off right, which is something that you like to see. But David, if you're watching the first half, it's hard to feel totally good about this game, because even though the Chargers win by 20, it was not very convincing in the first half. And at one point, the Chargers gave the Dolphins their first lead of the season. And I know Charger fans were scared because of that, but they found a way to do it, David, and it wasn't pretty at all times, and they still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you love to see that they finally, you know, put themselves in a position where they can have a victory formation. And it's been a while, you know, it's been a while since the Chargers have been able to do that. But yeah, in the first half, it was scary. I'm not going to lie. I mean, and the word that just came to mind immediately for me was just embarrassing. I mean, there's no way that this Chargers team, even with the amount of injuries that they're dealing with right now, should have been on any kind of level playing field at any moment with this Dolphins team. This Dolphins team is awful. And that first half was embarrassing. Thankfully, they corrected some things in the second half, and they were able to get out to an insurmountable lead and put the game away. But it definitely was not pretty, and you're absolutely right. They have a lot still left to work on.
And they bring their season back to 2-2 and back to 500 with a couple of games against some teams with very bad records the next couple of weeks. So they have a chance to right their season a little bit. They did start 2018 1-2 and obviously finished 12-4. I don't see that happening this year, but you needed to take care of business in Miami. This was absolutely a game that, if you lose it, changes your season dramatically. Trying to get out of that hole would be a very large task for the Chargers, and you would have no confidence that they would be able to do it. And last week, Melvin Gordon came back, and we were excited to see that for Charger fans and for the Chargers to get somebody back finally instead of losing someone. After Justin Jackson got hurt late in the week, it looked as if we might see Melvin Gordon. He was suited for the game. It looked as if he might play. He said that he thought he was going to play. He ends up getting zero snaps in this game, David. And we all know that maybe if it was a closer game, maybe he gets in there, but they kept a reasonable distance in the second half. They said next week he'll be playing in a limited role. But Melvin Gordon for this week was just an emergency situation only player, and they didn't end up using him, and they didn't really need to.
You're right. They definitely did not need to. Troy Maine Pope and Austin Ekeler had a great game. Austin Eckler by himself had 120 all-purpose yards and a couple of touchdowns. Troy Maine Pope got in on the action with the touchdown as well. They were running the ball quite well, and they were also great weapons in the passing game. So, yeah, Melvin Gordon sat on the sideline with the ball cap, but you got to remember, he's only coming off of a day and a half of practice. Literally just came back. I don't think they were comfortable putting him into the game. They just didn't have a really good gauge on his football shape. And so I think the safe move was to keep him out, and it turned out to be the right decision.
And the coaching staff kind of alluded to it, and so did Melvin Gordon, saying they thought about putting me in late in the game, but then the coaching staff thought, well, if I go in there right now in mop-up duty in a game that's not close and get injured, that would be the worst possible scenario. So I understand the Chargers holding him back. Going into it, they said that he would not play. So even the fact that he was activated to the roster and was suited up for the game was a surprise for most people. Good to see Melvin Gordon back. He will be the starter when he returns, but it was also good to see the Chargers with a very limited offense missing the weapons they were. Sean Culkin goes down in this game with a torn Achilles, leaving them with only one healthy tight end on the roster with Lance Kendricks. Chargers pull out a very good team win. They had a very solid all-around performance in the second half that got them the win in this game, and they really exercised some demons that they had in that building. All in all, the Chargers go to 2-2, getting back to 500, getting back into the thick of the divisional and conference race. So the Chargers hang in there. They get the job done when they needed to, but we do need to get into the big plays in the game recap from this game. Before we move on into the game recap, I need to tell you guys that if you're still driving around to go get yourself food, you're doing it wrong, because you could be using DoorDash. Have a long day at work or a tough day at school, still stuck in the office, treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash is awesome, guys. I use it all the time. And the best part is that it connects you to restaurants you would already go to, your favorite restaurants in your city. And the ordering is easy. All you have to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint on DoorDash, but there's over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, or Chick-fil-A. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more on DoorDash right now when you download the app and use the promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And guys, it's always good to get excited after a big win. And when I get super excited after a big win, it only reminds me of one thing, and that's a Blue Chew. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. The Chargers even gave you some extra time in this game to use that Blue Chew if you wanted to, because they finally had a comfortable lead in the second half. And you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. It's Victory Monday. Blue Chew for everyone. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment, breaking down this game against the Dolphins and going through all of the big plays that the Chargers had. So let's go ahead and start the game off in the first half. That was a little rough for the Chargers, but they did get on the field early. Phillip Rivers was making connections to all sorts of receivers. Austin Eckler had a catch. Jeremy Davis gets a catch. Lance Kendricks gets a catch. Troy Maine Pope gets a rush. I mean, the Chargers were spreading it around on the first drive. They end up, of course, getting into field goal range and doing what they have done lately, not being able to put the ball into the end zone. But Ty Long bails them out by kicking a 44-yard field goal. Spoiler alert, Ty Long in this game was very good again. He's had three perfect weeks and one really bad week, but we'll get into that. The Dolphins ended up coming out right away, guys, and smacking the Chargers in the mouth. On their first drive, they end up driving down the field and scoring a touchdown. They ran the ball extremely well. They were throwing to open receivers, and it didn't look good for the Chargers, John, because after the first two possessions, one for each team, it looked like the Dolphins came to play and it would not just be a cakewalk. Not many of us thought that it would be, but you knew it was going to be a little hard, John, in the first half when the Dolphins came out and got their first lead of the season, scoring a touchdown on you and going up 7-3.
We were still missing tackles, and when Devontae Parker scored the touchdown, it wasn't Brandon Faison that got beat, like we were saying. It was Desmond King, who completely lost track of his guy. That right there alone just says, okay, this is not going to be good the way this is going. If Desmond King is the guy that's getting beat here after we've been hammering FaZe in the past few weeks, if Desmond King can't make a play, nobody's going to make a play. He's supposed to be the best slot corner in the league, one of the top corners in the league, and you're getting beat by this team. And then this stuff, the tackling. How are you still that bad at tackling during week four and you want to come into a game against the worst team in the league? Drake is running the ball, like, first two plays, I think he touched the ball, and both times he broke at least one tackle. When are we going to show up to a game and actually be ready to play?
That's a great question, John, because we haven't seen it yet, so we're still waiting to see the game where they really come out and offensively and defensively just be super assertive and put their mark on the game and play the game that they want to play instead of letting the other team kind of dictate that to them. And I think that maybe woke them up a little bit, but they still allowed the Dolphins to hang with them the entire first half. It does help that the Chargers end up going down the field and scoring a touchdown. Phillip Rivers gets pressured in the pocket, ends up stepping up in the pocket, starting to run a little bit, and then sucks in the defender, finds Troy Maine Pope right behind the guy who tried to tackle him. Troy Maine Pope dances into the end zone, gets his first career touchdown, which was pretty cool to see for an undrafted free agent that came in and made the team this year. But the Dolphins wouldn't go away. On their very next drive, they came down the field. They used a lot of the same things. Kenyon Drake out of the backfield, short passes, and didn't move down the field as easily as when they beat Desmond King on the double move. But they did come back down and end up getting a field goal to tie the game. So it was 10-10. And Charger fans everywhere are like, here we go again. They knew they were going to be in for a long game, and the Chargers would not make it easy for them. And then on the next drive, of course, another touchdown gets called back on a terrible call, David. A pass interference on Keenan Allen where he basically just dropped his shoulder to get away from the coverage. They end up calling offensive pass interference, taking back a 65-yard touchdown, or what would have been. They end up going for it on fourth down later on in the drive. They turn the ball over, plus a 15-yard penalty, which that happened during the play, but they still gave it to the Dolphins and added that to their field position. But, David, another touchdown again for the third consecutive week that comes back because of a penalty.
That whole series was like a microcosm of all of the issues and problems that have been plaguing the Chargers this entire season. Penalties, revoking touchdowns, just bad decisions. It was just awful. That right there, to me, was probably the worst drive of the entire game.
Absolutely. And just another time where you leave points on the board, you get points, have them taken back by penalties. And then, of course, it ends up ending in 0 points on that drive. And it really capped a day for him. His day would have looked a lot better if he had gotten that 65-yard touchdown. The Dolphins come back and miss a field goal. Again, another opposing team's kicker missing a field goal. It's not like anything I've really ever seen. It's like they have all the bad kicking luck that the Chargers have had over the last few seasons. The Chargers do what they need to do, and right before halftime, they go down and get an Austin Eckler 18-yard touchdown. Another play where Phillip Rivers is running around and ends up sidearming it out to Austin Eckler, who makes the two best Dolphin defenders miss, Rashad Jones and Xavien Howard, on his way to the end zone. And then before halftime, another missed field goal by the Dolphins. you have to condemn the Chargers a little bit for even letting them get into field goal range and taking it easy on them a little bit and making it easy for them to get in range. But John, you've talked about it before. The other teams cannot make kicks against the Chargers, and it ends up costing the Dolphins 6 points, and they would have been in a one-point game at halftime.
Yeah, it's getting kind of weird now. I mean, Adam Vinatieri missed his kicks, and then that actually kept us from losing the game. The Lions missed kicks that kept us in the game. Even the Texans missed kicks that kept us in the game. If they make their extra point and field goal, we lose that game by 11. That last year. Opposing kickers against us this year are 2-8 on field goals and 6-9 on extra points. Meanwhile, Ty Long only has 2 missed field goals.
That's crazy.
It's like, what is going on here? We have a Canadian kicker who is our punter who is doing better this year than all the opposing kickers combined against us. What is 100%. Going on here? I think you nailed it. All of our bad luck kicking the Young Way Coos, the Nate Cadings in the playoffs, the Nick Novak that one year when Sturgis. He was just having a horrible year. Yeah, Caleb Sturgis.
Josh Lambeau.
It's like, hey, guess what? Here you go. Let me pay you it back real quick while making everybody else miss him.
Yeah, that's crazy. 25% opposing field goal kickers are kicking it against the Chargers. That's ridiculous. So one positive sign to come out in the second half was the Chargers getting a stop right away to start the second half and getting the ball back to the offense. The defense came out on a different level in the second half. Gus Bradley was using more blitzes. The Chargers were finally being able to get home in the pass rush game, which against a terrible offensive line like the Dolphins, it was pretty pitiful in the first half how little pressure was on Josh Rosen. I guess it just took Desmond King to get in there with his 2.5 sacks. But the Chargers come out and have a ridiculously long drive, 10 minutes and 33 seconds. Once again, they end up having to settle for a field goal, which was infuriating because somehow they end up at 4th and 19 and have to have Ty Long kick a 45-yarder. He makes it, which was awesome to see. And then the Chargers forced the Dolphins to go 3 plays, -7 yards, and have to punt again. And that's when it finally felt like the Chargers were being able to finish a game like that. Getting the ball back right there was huge. Not giving up a field goal to make it a 7-point game at 20-13. They gave them nothing. The Chargers come back on the next drive, end up going all the way down the field and getting another Austin Ekeler touchdown. This time, a 1-yard rush. He doesn't jump. He stays low. He gets in a really good play by Austin Ekeler, and I was telling the Chargers they needed to go for that play. Either way, even if he didn't make it, they did have to burn 2 timeouts, which was just crazy to think that they had to burn 2 in the third quarter. Then the defense comes out the next drive. Michael Davis gets his first career interception on just an absolutely terrible throw by Josh Rosen, and that's when things really started to fall apart. The Chargers end up adding a field goal late to make it 30-10. Ty Long gets a career-long 51-yard field goal. They trusted him to go out there and hit that, and he went out there and did it. Ty Long, a spectacular game. You end up having the Dolphins go for it on 4th down, and Josh Rosen threw it pretty much behind the line of scrimmage for some reason, and the Chargers have Tyrod Taylor and company come out and kneel the game away after they get a first down. So Chargers win 30-10. They didn't have to punt in this game. The Chargers never punted. That's just ridiculous. The offense was doing well pretty much all game. Couldn't finish and capitalize a couple of times. But the Chargers get away with a 20-point lead in a very up-and-down game at the beginning. But finally, they gave their fans a little bit of a break as far as their blood pressure goes because they're finally able to comfortably win a game, even if it wasn't all that comfortable in the first half. So we do have another segment to get into talking about our biggest takeaways from this game against the Dolphins. It didn't blow it finally. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you're in the market for a new or used car, you have to go by Metro Infinity right off the 210 in Monrovia in Los Angeles. They have a brand new multi-million dollar facility, and you have to check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that's family-owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. The numbers speak for themselves, guys. They're the number one volume dealer in California, which is just crazy. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is you don't even have to go to the dealership to get a new car. They will bring you the car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. If you mention that Locked On Chargers sent you, they will give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about getting a new Infiniti or even in the market for a new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, guys, you will not regret it. They also have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis to choose from. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. If you guys are looking for a car, there's no better place to do it than Metro Infiniti. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day. Just talking about the biggest things that we took away from this game. There's a lot on the top of my mind. Looking at this game, David, there's a lot of things you could take away from it. Some new players getting on the field, some guys that got injured in this game. The Chargers were able to get around those for the victory. So when you watched the game on Sunday against the Dolphins, what were your biggest takeaways?
So one of my biggest takeaways is that they actually rotated Forrest Lamp kind of early in this game. And it wasn't really a performance thing for Dan Feeney, but they rotated him in at left guard and seemed like he played fairly well. And it's, you know, he actually got a decent amount of snaps for once. Anthony Lynn said after the game that he was definitely going to be getting in there. He did not want to see Forrest Lamp sitting next to him in year three on the bench. He's going to be out there on the field and playing, and that's got to be some good news. A little bit of a change of philosophy, if you will. Hopefully that continues going forward.
Yeah, I thought he played very well when he was in there. I really thought he slid in nicely and was an improvement over Dan Feeney, who had another penalty in this game, and it's been pretty rough since he was the number one graded offensive lineman by Pro Football Focus. He did have some moments, but it was nice to see Forrest Lamp in there. And I think that's another big takeaway, David, because when the game started getting late and it was out of hand, they actually, instead of putting Trey Pipkins at left tackle, they put Forrest Lamp in there at left tackle. They put Trey Pipkins over at right tackle. John, when you see something like that, that was a little surprising to me. At least it gave me the thought that they might actually consider using Forrest Lamp as a tackle, or at least seeing him as a player that can play tackle, which obviously when you have the tackles the Chargers do right now is something that is very appetizing and you would like to see more of. But I thought that was very interesting, John, the way that they put Forrest Lamp in at left tackle and had him play some snaps there.
Very interesting. It's like Anthony Lynn spoke to like someone that does voodoo or something, and they finally said, hey, maybe you should try your other players. And he'd be like, oh, my idea. Let's do it against this team that sucks so I don't have any punishments if they mess up. Because Anthony Lynn experimented in this game. We saw so many other guys. Nazir Adderley got snacked. Tranquil got some snacks. But the other thing about that is a lot of guys get hurt. So Anthony Lynn's seen that there could be more injuries, and he wants to make sure he sees what he needs to see during a game or when those injuries happen. Left tackle during the Dolphins game, this is where he messed up. If you fix this, we'll do good this week. Game, we have so many guys drop like flies, and it makes me wonder, what are we doing in the off season? What is our conditioning staff doing? What are we doing in the weight room? What are these guys' diets? How are we all getting injured this easily?
It did seem like there was a ton of injuries at one point over the course of four plays, which ended up culminating in Sean Colkin tearing his Achilles on a play that would have been a touchdown for him and a really big play for a guy who's struggled to get playing time. And once he's had it, struggled to hold on to the ball when it was thrown his way. But yeah, Keenan Allen limped off the field. Dontrell Inman, after having a really productive game, had to be helped off the field after trying to get off himself and being unable to. And I think that's another takeaway from this game, David, is the way that the Chargers kind of found a way to get around the injuries, get around the guys they were missing, and didn't need a huge game from Keenan Allen to win the game. I mean, we said that going in. That was one of my keys for success in this game, David, was getting other guys involved and using the ancillary pieces on this offense, because you can't always count on Keenan Allen. And when you look at the stat sheet, you have Dontrell Inman going 5 for 76. You have Austin Ekeler keeping going in the passing game, 5 for 62. Lance Kendricks gets 2 for 37. Jeremy Davis chips in 2 for 25. Same with Andre Patton, 2 for 22. It was really nice to see those guys get involved. I mean, even Derek Watt had one catch for 21 yards where he broke a tackle and was looking pretty good out there. the Chargers found the other guys in the offense that they're going to need contributions from going forward. They found a way to feed those guys in this game, build some of that confidence, and not just have to rely on being a single-dimension offense.
Well, Phillip Rivers has proven in his past that he doesn't care who you are. If you're open, he's going to get you the football. And he did that to great effectiveness in this game. He was over 80% completion. He had over 130 quarterback rating, which was phenomenal. He would just play great in this game. It just seemed like he was one step ahead of the Dolphins for most of the afternoon. And it showed in the final stats. I mean, you got to love getting everybody else involved. You can't always depend on Keenan Allen to be the Superman. He is a great player, no question about it. But there are other pieces that can help you win ball games. And the Chargers offense, Ken Wisenhunt and Phillip Rivers showcased that in Sunday's game.
And it's kind of weird, as they keep saying it's time to move on from Rivers. He can't move around. We need a mobile quarterback. But this guy just put on a really good performance. Yeah, it's against the Dolphins and was able to move around out of the pocket to keep the plays alive. But yeah, we need to move on from him, quote unquote.
Well, and the thing is were you guys all saying that? I mean, 5 years ago? Because I think Phillip Rivers right now is probably moving around better than he ever has. I mean, Phillip Rivers in the pocket has always been decent at, you know, finding a way to stay in the pocket and move around a little bit to stay away from the pressure. But now, I mean, he's taken off two times in the last two games before this, and this game uses his legs to open up some passing lanes, which is something we're not used to seeing from Phillip Rivers. And Phillip Rivers just in this game was phenomenal. I mean, the Chargers didn't have to punt. They were really good on third down for the most part, you know, minus a couple of bad plays, but I thought the Chargers in this game had a very positive game offensively. I mean, if you don't have to punt, you can't really take that as a bad thing. But I still think that in the first half, the Dolphins really exposed some of the Chargers' issues that the Chargers won't be able to rely on being able to have that kind of output, 13 points in the second half. I mean, that's more than they've scored the rest of the season outside of overtime. And the second half, not including overtime, going into it, the Chargers had scored 10 points. They get 13 in this one, which you would still like to see a little bit more against a team like the Dolphins who's trying to lose these games. But the Chargers still have some really big question marks, especially stopping the run, even though the final numbers look better than it actually looked like in the game. And I think another big takeaway from this game is Michael Davis being back made a pretty big impact. I saw a lot of people ragging on Michael Davis on Twitter, and yes, there's some times, especially in run support or trying to make a tackle, that he leaves a lot to be desired. But as far as coverage goes, I mean, he gets a pick. He has a pass deflection that's called back on an absolutely terrible offensive pass interference call where the ref said it was a holding that turned into pass interference. Like, what are you talking about? Things you've never heard happen in this game from the refs. And he had another play where he tips the ball and Preston Williams was still able to come down with it. I mean, the Chargers in the first half had two tip balls that ended up being completions for the Dolphins. About everything went wrong as far as luck went for the Chargers besides the missed field goals. But all in all, the Chargers get a win that they absolutely desperately needed. I mean, it's hard to say a game this early in the season is a must win, but this was pretty much a must win for the Chargers. And they found a way to score some points in the second half, and they found a way to finally put another team away. And I think those are all building blocks going forward, even if you didn't necessarily get all of the things you wanted to out of this game. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll continue to talk about this game tomorrow when we all get to rewatch it, and we'll go into what went right and what went wrong more specifically. But until then, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. If you guys want to tell us your thoughts on the game, you can either tell us on Twitter or you can call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Every voicemail about the Chargers gets played on the show, so we will definitely play your thoughts on here if you guys call in. And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever the Locked On Chargers podcast is there. But happy Victory Monday to you guys. I know it was rough for some parts of it, but enjoy it. The Chargers got back on track, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bulls.